Well, greetings. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our risen Lord, this beautiful Lord's Day. My wife and I and daughter were talking about the last time we were down here, and I can't quite bring it up. They helped me with my weak memory, and it's good to be back again and to see you and to worship the Lord together. And you know, I would suppose this Lord's Day, all around the globe, there's saints gathered together to worshiping of the Lord. I received a text from a man in another country this morning, said, "Bless you as you worship the Lord today." And I texted him back and I said, "The same to you." That's in the country of Jamaica. And it's such a blessing to see each one of you, a blessing and a lovely time to be together and to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know what I was thinking of when I saw these children up here? And thank you, brother, for that, and the other brother also for the first devotional. In fact, you mentioned my message this morning, and I thought, well, maybe he's going to get into that, but he didn't then from Matthew chapter 25, but I'm thankful for those. And when I saw them children sitting up here, you know who I thought of and what I thought of? Brother Mark Brubaker. Brother Mark Brubaker told me he's not going to be here this morning, but he was just with us. We were together, and he had two messages at the Menden ministers' meetings, and he was teaching them ministers how to convey the Word of God and the biblical truth to following generations. And that's a blessing to see each one of them children sitting up here, and children indeed are an inheritance of the Lord. Praise God for every one of them. I'm thankful for the seven that the Lord gave my wife and I, and now we have 29 grandchildren and 11 great-grandchildren, so I'm telling on my age, but what a blessing, yes, it is to be able to serve the Lord and to see them serving the Lord as well. All right, for this morning, we're going to turn to St. Matthew chapter 25, and when we were here last, I don't know what I preached. Now, I could have went back in my diary and tried to find it, but I didn't, because I don't think I ever preached this message of Christ before. Maybe I did. I'm not sure. And maybe it was here. And I guess if it was here, why, God wants us to have it again. And we entitled the message, Six Virtues of Service Ministry That Determines Our Final Destination. So we'd like to look at six virtues this morning. Now, there's many virtues in the Scripture that are given to us, and I would say a lot of them probably are more important than this one here, but these six, but they are the six that Christ gave in Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to look at those six virtues that we have in serving our living Lord. Yes, there's many more virtues and issues that Christ teaches, like repentance, for example, and faith, and many, many other scriptures and practices that the blessed Word of God that we have teaches us on how to live. And we're going to just look at these six here this morning. Thank God for the Word of God. I'm thankful that He inspired men to write it, and He caused men to preserve and to keep it and get it printed, and we still have it today, and we can hold that Bible. And I suppose if I'd ask you to everyone to raise your Bible, probably everyone in this church would, except for maybe some of the real little children, would raise a Bible up. And you know, that is a virtue and a blessing that we take for granted, I believe, too many times. I thank God every day for the Word of God. You know, there's places in other parts of the world, they have one little sheet of Bible. I saw pictures from Cam's newsletters already where there's just one little piece torn out of a Bible somewhere, and here they all are gathered around, worship the Lord, and the speaker there is using that one little torn page. And here we have these blessed Bibles that are, we have so many of them, and we have had them all our lives. That's all I can remember growing up is my parents, my grandparents, and the congregation, and the people that we would see and relate to having a Bible. I'm thankful that our church in Cumberland County was one of the first groups that had a Christian day school. My first 2 years of schooling was in public school because there was no such thing as a Christian day school in those days. And our congregation, along with the Mennonite people, went together and started what they call Owl's Nest Christian Day School. And that little old red one brick schoolhouse, it didn't even have water. I remember us boys had to take a water fountain on a stick. So two of us would carry that down to the dairy farm nearby and come back every day to get water for that school. And my grandmother was the first teacher there in that school. And I have a lot of pleasant memories of that. Then we got another and a bigger school. And that school, it's in Churchtown, Pennsylvania, still being regulated by the Churchtown Mennonite people there. And yes, our memory goes back into a lot of those, but thank God we have the scripture. That's where I was first taught that to memorize scripture. I wasn't taught to memorize scripture in the public school, but I'm thankful I was taught to memorize scripture in those schools. And I'm just so thankful today, with my memory being so poor and with my issues of even seeing and reading is not what it used to be, but I'm thankful I have the Word of God hid in my heart. And I'm thankful that them verses come to me and them things come to me as I'm preaching. Many times I still have them, even though I do have to write more things down now in my message than I would have had to years ago. But I'm still thankful for the blessed Word of God, and I still love to preach the Word of God. I don't do a lot of things anymore, but I still love to preach the Word of God. And bless the Lord that we have the Word of God to preach. So turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25, and we'll begin to read at verse 31. We'll begin this message in verse 31 of Matthew chapter 25. And if time tarries, and I'm not sure what time you eat lunch around here, but we're not quite this early in our service there, so I'm not sure how much time this preacher has. I don't know if anybody even told me. But anyhow, we'll try and see how soon we can get through these verses here through verse 46. Matthew chapter 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Praise God. We're looking for that day, are we not? Thank God that he came to earth and he shed his blood and he was resurrected from the dead and he sits at the Father's right hand. And the promise is, he said to his disciples, if I go away, I will come again and receive you. He's going to be with us, and we're going to spend all eternity with our Lord when he comes and says here in glory, and I'm going to add to that word power. The power and the glory of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to shake this earth like it's never been shaken before. And brothers and sisters, we don't know when that's going to come. I remember as a young man, like some of you young men here, of my grandfather and my father and them old ministers preaching about the coming of the Lord. And I never thought I'd grow up to be a man. I mean, they made that thing so clear and powerful. I thought he's going to come. And you know what? I grew up about a boyhood into teenage years. And then I even got married. And now here I am a great grandpa, and the Lord did not come. But that don't make his coming any less significant. He is going to come. Yes, he is. Praise God. We look for that glorious coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it says here, when he comes in that power and that glory, and all the holy angels, not some of them and part of them. And I think there's a scripture, and you can help correct me if I'm wrong. In the book of Revelation, it says the angels are without number. So that you can't number the angels. And it doesn't say he's going to come with some of the angels. It says he's going to come with all the angels. So that's going to be a tremendous coming when our Lord Jesus Christ comes. It says, oh, no wonder it says in all that glory and all that power and all those holy angels coming there with him. And it says he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. And I just like to say the majestic, glorious splendor of the throne of God is nothing like it. All the kings of the earth and all the people that have authority and presidents and rulers of other countries in this country have their final seat. Even all of our government officials in Pennsylvania, even in our townships and in counties, they have a place where they sit, but there's none of them sit in power and glory like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise God that he's going to sit there on that majestic throne of his in all power and glorious power. What a time that will be when he comes there sitting on his glorious throne of glory. Verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, not just some, it says all nations, and he shall separate them. And all those nations are going to be separated, it says here. them one from another, as a sheep divided his sheep from the goats. And that is a parallel that Christ is using, which he does in other places as he teaches the truth of God's holy will and word. He uses shepherds. He even says one place, I am the good shepherd. Yes, he does. My sheep know me and they hear my voice. That's another place where Jesus uses the sheep as a allegory or a significant meaning that people of low class that were sitting there listening to him could understand it. It wasn't something they would have thought, well, we're going to have to go get an attorney and get that all figured out, what he was talking about, or we're going to have to go see the elders of the our people, and we're going to have to get this figured out. But no, he was right down to earth with them. And God help us when us ministers get too high up where people don't even know the significance of what we're preaching because of those words that seem to be countless that might be used. But we thank God that he's going to treat us and he's going to separate. There's a time of separation coming. Yes, there is. Where the sheep is, it's an eternal separation. It's a separation that will never be reversed. He isn't going to gather them for a while and sort the sheep from the goats and then turn them back and say, well, you go feast a while and I'll return. No, this says when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, there's going to be a great separation from the people that know him, that are his sons, that are his children, that have been born again, that have been filled with the Spirit, that lived a godly, holy, faithful life, from the people that don't know him. The people that maybe one time did know him but backslid and fell back into sin. And I think we all have people that we know like that. Yes, it's people that is not living for God. They're not obeying the scripture truths as the Bible teaches us to live. No, they aren't. And they're going to be placed on his left hand. There's going to be a separation over there that day when the Lord comes to separate. It's an eternal separation. Indeed it is. It's a time where it will be never again and was never before like that. Verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and it says he's going to, but the goats on the left hand. It's an eternal separation, them sheep on his right hand and the other on the left, and it doesn't say anything about an in-between, does it? It doesn't say he's going to put them good sheep over here in his right hand and his them terrible bad sinner goats over here. And the in-between, those are those who tried, but we're going to put them in the middle. I don't read anything like that in the Bible. It's going to be one or the other. It's black and it's white. Yes, it is. Now, I know the Bible does use a word. It's a word called lukewarm. We read that in the book of Revelations. That's the only time you'll read that word in the Bible. In that day, he says, I would that you were either hot or cold. You were either in or out. So there is going to be a in-between, and that was to the Laodicean church. Am I right in that, brother? The Laodicean church. He said some of them were lukewarm. And as I said, that is the only time I think you find that word in the Bible. And I thought I looked that word up, what it means here. Lukewarm means not cold or hot, but it means a widow. If you look that word up and you look the word widow up in the New Testament, it's the exact same word in Strong's Concordance in the number 5503. A widow, someone that's desolate, someone that doesn't have help. That's what the word is used there in that one there. And that's how it's going to be. The goats on his left hand and the sheep on his right hand. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. I want to turn to that scripture there in the book of Corinthians. Corinthians 6, 17 says, therefore, if he is another, I got the right verse 17 and 18. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. He's going to be set on the right hand. And all things are of God, who has redeemed us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. And that's what we want to get out here, is that ministry of reconciliation that God gives us, and six virtues he gives us that we're going to get to here in doing that ministry of reconciliation. Now back here to our scriptures again. Verse 34, Then shall the king say unto them in his right hand, come. There's not a most glorious word that we can ever hear from Christ, from God, sitting on his throne, than the word come. Come. I know that is a word that we all like to hear when it's something we're looking forward to hear. Come. Come. It says, come ye blessed of my Father. And I want to say, God bless you for being blessed of our Father here at this congregation. Bless you. And those words are going to be the most glorious, eternal words of consolation we'll ever hear. Come, ye blessed of my Father. And we're going to get on later down here in another verse. The most worst and horrible word is depart. But to the blessed, that's the left-handers. But to the right-handers, he says, come. That's what he's saying. I want you to come to me, ye blessed of my Father. And then he says here, ye blessed of my Father, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come to heaven. In the beginning, Genesis 1:1, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning. Yes, and that's what he has prepared. In fact, that's where we all were going to go until Adam sinned, and sin came upon us all and was passed down from Adam right to all of us. But Jesus Christ came and restored the gift of eternal life so that we can one day go back to heaven and be with our Lord, our God, our Creator over there in glory. John 14, St. John chapter 14. We'd like to read some verses there about this. John 14, and I would like to read verses 1-4. Let me just lay my fingers on that quickly here. John 14, verses 1-4. Here Jesus is saying this. Let not your heart be troubled. Maybe someone's here this morning with some troubles in your heart. We live in the flesh yet. Yes, we do. We still have issues. And you know, the older I get, it seems like sometimes the more those issues are real to me that maybe were not when I was younger, and I possibly did not relate to people having them maybe as I should have. One example is patience. It just seems like my patience. I need strength, brother. I need your prayers. I need more patience at times. Sometimes I get a bit impatient. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Come, ye blessed of my Father, to that place that I have prepared for you. And brothers and sisters, I don't know what your mansion is going to look like in my mansion over there, but brothers and sisters, one day he's calling us over to those mansions of glory. Sometimes we get the idea, we think we have to maybe have a mansion kind of house here. No. A tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there, the one hymn writer writes. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. And I believe I'm talking to a people here this morning that know the way. And you know him too. And God bless you. And if there's anybody here that's not saved this morning, well, I would invite you to come to Jesus Christ. I don't think I'm preaching to a group of unbelievers like we do already sometimes in some places. But we are thankful that the Word of God can save people yet and redeem people yet. You know, I always wanted to go to Alaska when I was a young man, and after I got cancer, I figured them traveling kind of days are over. Until one day, a brother called me and said, would you hold me for us up here in Alaska? I told my wife, phew, I guess the Lord wanted to know I wanted to go to Alaska sometime. And we got to see the beauty of Alaska. Yes, we did. We stayed there in May of last year. The sun come up 4:30 in the morning, and it didn't set to 11:30 at night. But you know what? The other time of year, it's the opposite. It's just that much darkness as it was like there. And I enjoyed Alaska, and we stayed a couple extra days and did some visitation there and saw snow. There was snow at the preacher's house in May when we got there. But the thing I like about Alaska the best, two people were saved, Hallelujah. Two people were saved, gave their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I knew the one. I knew the one. When this young brother was saved, we come home to his house. He was sitting there with tears in his eyes. And his father said he gave his heart to the Lord tonight. He had an older sister sitting there. I could tell you, she did not respond, but I mean, it was working on her. I could see that. She was a little uncomfortable. And when we got home, we heard the message. She gave her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And brothers and sisters, what a time when we can see people born into the kingdom of our God. Praise the Lord. Yes. And he says here, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And that's a long time that the foundation of the world has been here. But we are thankful, brothers and sisters, that one day we're going to inherit that glorious kingdom over there in the foundation of the world. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says something there, maybe I'd like to look at. Philippians 2, 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to do and to will and do his pleasure. His pleasure. And that's another text for later on down through here. But we will get to that here in a little while. The foundation of the world. And we praise God for that time. Yes, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 also talks about something there we'd just like to look at. Hebrews 6, 10. Says this, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and to minister. And that's what we want to talk about, the virtues of ministering to others. And God isn't forgetful. God sees what we're doing. God knows what we're doing. And we're going to stand before him one day and give an account, it says, of everything done in this body. Yes. It doesn't matter who we are. We're all going to stand there. All right. Now we want to get to these six things here in Matthew chapter 25. The first one he says, after that, he says, I was hungry and you gave me meat. Now, I don't know how much food you give to someone that's hungry. And there again, I see in Cam's newsletters people that are just, this last one just came this week, about all them people that in that one country there with them bowls of food that they have there and how happy they are. And you know, we get so much food to eat sometimes, I think they say we almost waste one third of our food in America. That's an awful lot of food to waste, isn't it not? Yes, but he says, I was hungry. When is the last time I fed a hungry man? I'm trying to think of that. You know, 11 years ago, we lived for 7 weeks right in downtown Philadelphia when they were giving me my radiation treatments. And a Mennonite couple owned a house right in Philadelphia, and it happened to be empty at the time. But he says, you can gladly live there free. So we lived in Philadelphia for 7 weeks, my wife and I, when I was having my radiation treatments there at that Penn Medicine Hospital. And he said, everything in there is yours. I mean, we didn't have to take anything. It was furnished with furniture, and it was a time. So we spent 7 weeks living in that place there. And then my wife would come to see me or take me over to this hospital to get these treatments, because I had to have one every day, 5 days a week. So we'd go down every Monday. I'd get my treatment. We'd go and stay in the hospital. And then we'd go Friday, and we'd drive home. And we did that for 7 weeks. And my wife reminded me of the times that people would knock on your window when you stopped at a red light and ask if you had something to eat. So she started packing lunch bags. That's what she did. She packed lunch bags. But they would ask her for that. She would give them something to eat. Here in 2 weeks, we plan to go to Harrisburg again and do street meetings there in a park. And the Sister Debbie Winan is responsible. She's ever going to put two cookies in a bag and staple a track in there and hand them out. Well, I told my wife, we start giving food out, we're allowed to have a lot of people in that park there that night. And someone even thought maybe we should give them a gift card of $20. Well, I said, well, I don't know what the population of Harrisburg is, but I mean, we'd have a crowd of people if you start doing that. And that was decided not to do that at this time anyhow. So we were just there a couple of weeks ago, and this lady contacted Debbie One. They've been working this out, and she's going to invite a lot of people in, and she's going to make them hot dogs, I think, there. And so I don't know how many people we'll see there. Anybody here is welcome to come along. It's 3 o'clock on the 27th. The last Sunday of this month. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We're heading into Harrisburg there again to have street meetings there in that park. And we praise God that we can relate to people like that. Yes, we can. And I know sometimes these street meetings, we were also in the city of Reading, and it was a full park. And when we got up there that night in Harrisburg, there was hardly anybody in that park, but we started singing, and they started coming after a while. But I remember down here in Reading, we had a street meeting earlier this year in that park, and that park had a lot of people. But the thing about that was, when I would stand up to preach there, they couldn't understand what I was saying. Now, a lot of them could understand me better than them. We talked to them after it, and the one man told me, two-thirds of Reading speak Spanish. I can hardly believe it's that many, but that's what I was told. Now, whether that's accurate or true or not, but I know a lot of people. There was one lady there that knew English fairly well that I could talk a little bit and relate to. But praise God for the Word of God. He says here, I was hungry. When's the last I gave something out for somebody to eat? I remember that there in Philadelphia very good. And the people that Kathy would prepare them lunch bags for, it was a glorious time to see them there doing that. It means hungry. The word Greek there is penixin, which means a famished craving for food. And you know, Christ in his ministry did both. He fed people with spiritual food, and then the physical food. Many physical foods. That much that Peter said to him, Lord, all these people, where are we ever going to get enough to feed all them? Well, Lord took care of that, didn't he? He said, you just make them sit down here in groups, and that little bag of fishes just never got all that day. And it says they gathered, how many of you young married men can tell me how many bags they had left over, and they gathered it up? That's right, 12. One for every disciple to take home. Whew. What a glorious one. But Christ also, before he fed them the physical food, fed them the spiritual food. And that's one of the signs of these virtues here that he says is going to enter into his kingdom and his joy. People that fed hungry people. Yes, Christ fed them. The next one is, I was thirsty and you gave me water to drink. Now, you know, we don't ever hardly see people thirsty, do we? To give them water. I can't hardly ever remember, feeding somebody that's water. Jesus does teach in the Gospels elsewhere. I think that's over in Matthew 10:42. He that giveth a cup of cold water in the name of a in my name, or is it the name of a disciple, in my name, shall in no wise lose his reward. So it's a blessing to give a cup of cold water. And I'm not saying it can't be beyond that. Maybe it's iced tea. That's something we drink some around our place, and I grew up on that, drinking iced tea, and I like iced tea. Sometimes I don't drink as much as I used to, but anyhow, I like iced tea. Yes, I do. Give you a cup of iced tea in the name of a disciple, or maybe lemonade, or maybe even a soda. I don't know. If there'd be anything necessarily wrong with that, giving a soda? Now, I'm sure some of us would not get into that very much, but anyhow, if you do it in the name of a disciple, it says you shall no wise lose your reward. So when's the last time I gave a thirsty man a drink of water? And that's one of these six virtues mentioned here. When's the last time? Maybe one thing is we don't even notice when people are thirsty. We don't even look for it. Yeah. Maybe some people don't like the water from your wells. That's what we have at our place. And you can get these little bottles of water. You can break loose and use them. Give them to that. So you can. The brother's coming to stay at my house next week, and I think he's preaching down here somewhere. Brother Trent Eikenberry, he likes Pepsis. So I put Pepsis in his refrigerator down in our basement yesterday for him to drink when he's here next week. Because I know one time we were at his place, and he was he at our place? I can't remember the occasion. We were just there last month. But anyhow, Brother Trent likes Pepsis, so I got him Pepsis to drink and put them down in his refrigerator because I know that's something he likes to drink. So praise the Lord. If it's Pepsis or whatever it might be, let's give that to them. Now the next one is here. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Now, brethren, here's one I examine my life with, and I don't think I'm doing too good at this one. When's the last time you kept a stranger at your house? I've heard people say, well, I don't know them. Why should I invite them to my house? I don't even know who them people are. Well, that's what a stranger is, someone you don't know. We automatically invite those who we do know, don't we? Yes. Just like last night when we had our children, grandchildren, and son-in-laws, and daughter-in-laws, and grandchildren at our house. We made them homemade ice cream there. And we don't hardly ever do that as much as we used to years ago, but we did that last night there. I don't know if it was, they weren't near all there, but we had some of each there. But how about strangers? When's the last my wife and I had a stranger? Now, she reminded me of a time we did take a man in. I think he was a salesman. It was pretty late, and he said, I asked him if he has any place to go, and he didn't. We invited him to stay at our house that night. Now, I know there can be some danger there. That's probably the time when I still had three young teenage daughters that are all married now. The oldest one's 53 or 4. They're not as young as they used to be. But in them years ago, when we lived there on Greville Road, I remember that man coming here and staying in our house. And my wife, he reminded me, we took him in other nights. Now, there could be some danger. Yes, there is. I remember, as a boy, we lived on a dairy farm in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, on Route 74 between Carlisle and Dillsburg. I remember the tramps that used to go walking on the road, and they would stop at a dairy farm and ask if they could stay in our barn overnight. And there was a couple things my father always asked him, I remember. Right here on the windowsill of the wash house, he said, I want you to take all of the matches out of your barn and put them here. And they would go up in our barn, and they would sleep there in that barn overnight. And we didn't know who they were. That's in the days when there were still tramps. So there was. I guess there was still somewhere, like some of them in Philadelphia was asking my wife for that food. But I don't have much to write down or preach to you of people that I was strangers, and I took them into my place as strangers. And there's two verses of Scripture I want that also add to that I think would be good for us. One's 1 Timothy 5:10. Let's turn our Bibles to that one. 1 Timothy 5:10 says, if I can just quickly find that here, this is what it says. 1 Timothy 5:10. This is for a widow, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she has lodged strangers. And a widow at that? He says, if she didn't, she's not worthy of receiving her into your church. I'm sure there would have to be some lines drawn there for a widow lady to be bringing strangers into their house. But that's another place where we find the word strangers. And then, again, over here in Hebrews 13:2 is another verse. Hebrews 13:2, we have the word strangers. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. No. I'm sorry, 13:1. Let brotherly love continue. Verse 2 then says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Sometimes we forget things Christ teaches us to do here on his passages of Scripture, to entertain strangers. I looked that word entertain up. I thought maybe it meant to do something funny for them. No, it means to provide for them. If you look the Greek word up there, to provide for strangers. And over in John's epistle, the epistle of John 3, we have it one more time there. I'd like to read. Epistle of John 3 says this, verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Yes, that's something I need your prayers in, to do more to strangers than I actually do. God help us there. The word stranger means an alien or a guest. That's what it means if you look at word up there in the original text. Now we go back to Matthew chapter 25 again. And we have the next one. I was a stranger and you took me in naked and you clothed me. When's the last time you bought clothes for somebody because they didn't have enough to wear? A lot of people need them. They might have enough money to buy clothes, but they don't wear enough clothes to conceal their nakedness. And that was one of the things from the very beginning when Adam and Eve sinned. They were ashamed of God, and they took them leaves, and then God told them to to take the skin of animals and make clothing to clothe themselves. And even under the New Testament, that word has not changed. It still remains the same. Buying clothes. I remember doing that for people in Jamaica years ago. When there was time, see, we've been going to Jamaica for many years, since 1971. So that's how many years we've been going in and out of Jamaica. And my parents lived there until 1988. So we've been going to Jamaica a lot, and we still go down there yet, because the house and the church and the school and the shop is still in my name there yet. Never got changed before my father passed away, so it's still in my name. So we still go down there and preach. We usually stay three weeks every winter. And I think we already have two people who want to go along next winter. Some of them were never there. And it is a blessing. And I remember when Jamaica was very, very poor. I remember when you could never trust electricity. It would go on at times and it would go off. And it would go on at times and it would go off. And I still remember this last time it did go off a time or two. And I also know I can't take my alarm clock to Jamaica, because Jamaica only has 50 cycle electricity. We have 60. So when you get an alarm clock to Jamaica, it loses time. If it's an electric one, you got to have a clock, you know, that takes batteries, that hangs on the wall. That's kind of battery, the clock we have to use, unless you have one that's made in a country where there is 50 cycles. But that's how it is there. But I do remember often sending bundles and bundles of clothes. I remember sending a semi-load of stuff already there years ago. And oftentimes we'd send many clothes. Naked needs clothes to me, but I can't remember lately where I took clothes to somebody and said, here, you need some clothes, we have some. But that's one of these six virtues that he says here, I was naked, I need clothes to me. And I'm not saying clothes is always necessarily the only thing. It might be shoes, it might be something else that they need, partly related to that, rather than one of these others there. But he says, I was naked and you clothed me. Yes, I was. I was sick. And ye visited me. I was sick, and ye visited me. When's the last time you went to visit a sick person? It means to give strength to those who are strengthless, weak, and impotent. If you look at that word sick up in the Greek there, that's what it means. To give to strength those that are strengthless, those that are weak, and those that are impotent. And those that have had various things to do that. Yes, I was sick and you visited me. And I think there's a lot of people that need visitation. They might not always be sick physically, which I think that's what this primarily pertains to, but even those who are maybe sick spiritually, or maybe it's a family issue they're going through right now, and a visitation to them would be a very, very good thing to do to them, and go visit them and sing for them. And elderly people, too. You could also say that. People are elderly. People that, don't always get much company, I guess I should say. And we visit some people sometimes and say, well, you're the first person that's been to see us for a long time. Yes, my wife and her daughter and my daughter went to see a neighbor yesterday because she's a widow. And we happened to see their son out at the barn meetings last week, and he was talking to us, so we decided to go see her and take her something there. Yes, and tomorrow evening, we have a hymn sing at Jonathan's house. Jonathan, and I don't know if he'd want me to invite you all. You may come, but that's my fellow minister there. And my daughter got a call from a neighbor, a widow, last evening, and said she's going to come to our hymn sing. We have a hymn sing outdoor. We have a couple of them in the summer. And then we have a snack. What we like to do that is we invite all of our neighbors. And we have a lot of Mennonites and of them kind of people around us there. But we also invite other people. In fact, the last time we had that at my place last summer, we had 145 people come in there. But I tell you what, you got to put some effort to it. And I did. I got invitations made up, and I literally went and knocked on their door. Hey, we're having a hymn sing here this date, and we invite you to come. Now, like I say, we had three Amish families there, and they would never come to our church. No, they're not allowed to do something like that. And we had a lot of the Weaverland Conference Mennonites there and people that you wouldn't normally ever see another place. But it has been a real blessing to do that. And somebody's sick, let's visit them, and let's pray for them, and let's go into the hospital to see them. I'm thankful when I was in the hospital of the people that would come to see us. Yes, even down there in Philadelphia, there's people that go on, let me get this together, got on a train in Lancaster and came to Philly to visit me when I was in the hospital down there. And that's been 11 years ago. And I was just in the hospital again this summer. But anyhow, the Lord, he sends visitors, and some people call and some people text, and we get that communication, and it's important. It's cheering to a sick person. Yes, it is. And when you have prayer for them, that's a blessing. Pray for a sick person when they're in a sick situation. The next one here is, he says, I was sick or in prison. I was in prison. And he said, I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. What a blessing that is. And I thank the Lord. And you know, we have gone into the Lebanon prison, preached much. For many years I've preached in there, and they shut us off when COVID came. And I have tried to get back in there, and the chaplain of the prison is a different man, and the man that is says, I don't know how you'll ever work your way back in there, in that prison. But I remember my father, when I was just young and married, even before I was married, preaching at a big prison in Baltimore. And we would go down there, and there was 700 plus men in that auditorium of prisoners. That's how big that prison was. And I remember my father preaching to them, to those prisoners there, and some of them giving their life to the Lord and receiving the Lord into their hearts and life. But that was a prison that I will never, ever forget. No, I will never do that. A prison means a fugitive, a vagabond, or a wanderer is a Greek word for that. And when's the last I went to visit a prisoner? It's hard to visit them now, or someone in prison. When the Lord gets us up to judgment and says his books are going to be opened, then the book of our life, and he's going to say, when's the last time you visited somebody? I'm looking here to see. Don't you know I taught that you visit those in prison? You're in Matthew chapter 25. I wonder how it's going to all work out, brothers and sisters. How many times do I go to visit a person? And you know, you can call now and you can text me, even if you can't get in, but I get in. And Lord willing, the 27th of this month, I'm going to be preaching. They asked me to preach at Teen Challenge, which is only 3 miles from my house, or not even that, I don't believe. And they say there's 102 men there right now. And I can't believe I lived by that place for 30 years, but going by that place the other week here, it came into my heart. Why don't you see if you can go in there and have a service? And I did, and we worked with it, and I finally got a hold of the right person, and they have me in there, or they have our congregation to come in there to those 102 men, and she said most all of them come out to the service and stand up there on the program and sing to those men. And then she said, you have from 7 to 8, you have an hour. I said, we're going to give you. But she said this to me. She said, we don't want it all singing. She says, they also like preaching. So I asked the brother that was on that night. He said, no, you preach. We're going there. I want you to preach. So you pray for us. On the 27th of this month, we pray and stand up there and preach to them drug addicts and all those people that they have in there for the various reasons and preach the word of the Lord to them. I was in prison and ye visited me. I remember one time, and it's been a number of years ago, being in another country. And we were there to hold 2 weeks of meetings. They said, you preach 1 week in this tent in the city, and then you go over here to this other congregation, and you preach the next week there. So I was invited to go there to preach for 2 weeks. And this goes back a number of years ago. I don't know if it's safe to say 20 or 30 years ago. But while I was there, and the reason why we got invited to go there is my daughter is married to his son. And his name is Harvey Kaufman, and he still lives, even though he's in his 80s and he lives out in Ohio. But he lived there, and we stayed at his place when we were there. And one day he took me to where he goes every week, and my son was with me, my youngest son. I think they said he was 14 then. He's 34 now or so. I don't know if I got all of them straight. But anyhow, he says, I'm going to the prison tomorrow. I'd like to take you along. And brother and sisters, I was to a prison like I have never, never, ever seen in my life. I have never, ever seen human beings live like this. They were 2 stories high. They were concrete, solid concrete, because there's no winter there. They didn't have any heat. And we went to the upstairs, and then we went to the downstairs. And in every one of them little rooms, I don't know if I'm safe in saying they were 8 by 12 or not. They might have been 8 by 15. not much bigger than that, and they all had five men in that cell. Five men. No beds, no wash or water, running water, no commodes. Five men. Some of them had some, a lot of them were naked men. And some of them had some clothes and blankets they were trying to stretch from wall to wall to make a cot or something to lay on up out of all that. Can you imagine all the stuff that was on the floor of that? And we had to walk through it. And my son got really sick walking through that stuff, running out that solid door. That's in prison. I will never forget that place, those men in there. And I even met one man in there, said he got caught down there. He says, I'm from America. Here I am in this place. And they don't deal with prisoners like the U.S. does. We also go to see a man in a prison 3 miles north of here. We go periodically. We got on his list. He got saved. Some of you might remember him. Jeff Clapsadow. He got saved, and we just learned in the last couple months that my neighbor, a Weaver Lane Conference deacon man, has a son, Chris, that went out into the world and got into stuff and got in prison, and he's in that same prison now, and we're trying to get that man all the papers taken care of. It takes some time to get approved to go in there. So we go up to see Jeff occasionally, a couple times a year, and we're allowed 3 hours with him. And to get him lunch and eat lunch with him in that big auditorium of men that has a couple at every table. There are visitors visiting them in that prison. And I hope we can get to see Chris. I haven't seen him yet since he's up there in that prison. But anyhow, he says, I was in prison and ye visited me. Verse 37. Then shall the righteous answer, saying, Lord, whom saw we a hungry, or fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? This is the righteous sitting on the right hand asking this. And you and I never saw him in person and gave him food in our personal lives, at our literal tables, in our earthly homes, did we? No, we didn't. So we're not sure when we did this. And look what he answers them. There in verse 40. Oh, the last verse, did I read 38? And when saw we sick and in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. What a blessing. He doesn't say, as often as you've done it to the elders and the ministers and the deacons and the bishops and all them, those in the ministerial body, but he says the least. Those that maybe someone says, oh, you're going to take them supper. Yeah, well, I don't know if I will him. I don't know, we don't say that. No, we know better than that, don't we? Do them thoughts ever go through our minds sometimes? Thoughts like that? I don't know, I'm taking them a meal over there. He says the least of my brethren. He says, when you did it to them, you were doing it to me, and they didn't even know it. So God bless you as you minister to people. Here, you're doing it to Jesus Christ. You're doing it to the King of glory. You're doing it to him that will take us and receive us into glory. And the king says, is lost you done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Verse 41. Then shall he say also to them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed. Ye cursed. That Greek word for that is doomed. It means doomed. Ye doomed. Depart from me. The most horrible words that anyone will ever hear is from God that says depart. With his son Jesus sitting at his right hand who shed his blood and died and prayed in that garden for us. And the angels came and ministered unto him. But he went to that cross anyhow and he shed his blood. And he rose the third day. Hallelujah. Send it to the Father. And now he makes intercession and they're coming for us. So we're going to see them over there in glory. Yes. But oh, those words depart. To hear those words in a time when it will not be changed. In a time where there'll be no more opportunities. In a time when life is over. Eternity now begins. And you are being assigned to your final destination. depart from me. What horrible words. Into everlasting fire. Everlasting fire. Hellfire. Now, I know you probably know and have read some of this more recent writings about hell, where they say it's not eternal. They don't deny it, but they say a man goes there and burns up, and that's it. That's the end of him. It's over. It's just like going through a house fire. It's over. This says, what does this say? Here's one of the two places in the scripture. It says that hell is forever and ever. This says everlasting fire, not temporal fire, but everlasting fire. It is eternal. We're going to burn. We're going to burn. And we can't fathom what the word forever and everlasting means, can we, in our finite minds? It just don't come. We can try to figure that all out, but when we get over there and get transfigured into the glorious life and body of Jesus Christ, well, we really know what the word everlasting and eternal means. And he says it wasn't prepared for you. That's the most horrible thing about it. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But when we allow the devil to cause us to sin, we go there. Yes, we go there. And there's a scripture I'm trying to think of that Jesus said about the devil. I don't think I have that written down here, but it comes to my mind right now. And maybe one of you here will know that somewhere along that line. Depart from me. Yes, he says unto them, as long as you've done it the least of my brethren, you did it not unto me. When you said, no, I don't want to do it, to my brothers, to my sisters, to anybody, or to anyone. No. Verse 40, he says here. And many other things the Lord gives us to do to others, besides, I think, these six things. Yes, these six things is very important. Whether it's singing to others. Really, what are we really doing to the Lord and Savior, our King, to continue keeping his faithful beloved, to work with the older brethren? There's work for you to do for all you brothers, for all you sisters, for all you youth, and for all even you dear children. There's something for you to do. I'm sure maybe I told you this story before. I remember knocking on the doors of Little Kutztown, handing out revival invitations, which we got one coming up here. I wanted to bring that along. I don't think I brought them along. It might be in the van. Brother Luke Flory is going to be having revivals there in October in our congregation. But I remember taking revival, and my deacon was across the street in this development right there at Little Kutztown, and I was on this side of the street, and I was standing there knocking on the door waiting. And while I stood there, I watched my deacon over on the other side. He had his four-year-old daughter, Regina, with him. Yes, she was 4 years old. And I know it was cold. I remember she had a hat and coat on. And a man answered the door. And Timothy, that's my faithful deacon brother, Timothy Teller, had given the invitation and said, if they answer the door, you give it to him. And she did. And I seen him look at that thing. And then he looks at her. Then he looks at Tim. And then he looks back at her. And I can't remember what Tim said he said. But do you know what? That man was a dean of a college. He was just that man came two times to the revivals, two nights. And I often questioned myself, I wonder if Tim would have gave it to him, he would have come. I don't know. But I think there was just something about that thing there that caused that man to come. Yes, he did. He didn't respond that we know him on the outside, but anyhow, he came there that time. Bless you, dear children. Those on the left side, he says, he says, depart from me, prepare for the devil. I was hungry, and he goes over them six things. He says, they show hands to him, saying, well, Lord, we don't know when we did it. But he says the exact same thing to them as them. Say, when you didn't do it, people you didn't know, you did it to me. And then verse 45 says, then shall he answer, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the least of these my brethren, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. God bless you. Let's stand for a closing prayer, and I'll take my seat. Father in heaven, thank you for the word of God. It's quick, it's sharp, it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and divides us under the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Thank you, Lord, it reveals who we are. Yes, it does. Thank you for this dear body of believers here at this place. I pray for them. I pray, dear God, for every one of them, from the oldest to the youngest. I pray for their minister, ministry. And I pray for each of them in their homes, in their at their jobs, in their communities, among their relationships, that they, oh Father, would be growing in these six virtues that you taught us this morning. And we would go minister, they would go minister them to others around them. Bless them and keep them. Be with us the rest of this day and keep us in your will till Jesus comes. We ask in his name. Let us all together pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.